Hello, Golf WRX. Welcome to the Gear Dive. I'm your host, Johnny Wonder. Hope everybody's having a good week. It's still snowing and cold in Toronto here, but excited for this show. It's a person I met, I don't know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and he has done quite a bit of work from the first time I met him until now. Going to be chatting with Stephen Malbin of Malbin Golf. And I believe his wife Erica will be joining the call. Kind of a golf power couple. Doing some really exciting stuff. You know, it's fashion centric, it's not gear. But Stephen has been a really awesome voice for the, you know, I'll call it kind of the urban golf movement. Bringing golf into the inner cities and getting a lot of the skateboarder kids to get involved in golf and actually exposing a lot of those kids that already love golf. Guys like Sean Malto, Mikey Taylor, you know, that's kind of how, you know, I identified what he was doing and the power of it, because those are typically people I would never turn to talk golf. They're skateboarders, and that culture is never really mixed, but it does now, thanks to guys like Steven. So, looking forward to having that conversation. He's an interesting guy, always good for a quote. Also want to plug the other podcast on Golf WRX Radio, the 19th hole with Michael Williams. Mondays off, Steve Westfall and Brian Knudsen. Two guys talking golf, Rob Miller and Brian Knudsen, and On Spec with Ryan Barrett. Those can be found on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, and on the site golfwrx.com. But looking forward to getting into it with Mr. Malbin here. This is the Gear Dive. I'm your host, Johnny Wonder. Let's do it. Okay, welcome to the Gear Dive. I'm your host, Johnny Wonder. I am with, I'll call him an old friend, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, Mr. Stephen Malbin of Malbin Golf. Steve, what's happening?
What's up, buddy?
Well, it sounds like you have, I think you mentioned you're in the desert, and I think, you know, you guys have a bajillion Instagram followers. I think you guys are at Madison Club or something. Is that right, this week?
Mm-hmm.
Having some fun?
Yeah, I played Madison Club yesterday. Beautiful.
Yeah. How much golf do you get to play these days?
I try to play every couple of days, at least hit balls. And okay. Some weeks are better than others on getting out on the course, but pretty active, you know,
which I think is actually kind of a cool thing about, you know, your life's out there on Instagram. And, you know, what I see a lot of is, you know, you actually go out and enjoy the game. You play a lot, you know, it seems like you get to play a lot of golf, and, you know, a lot of us in the golf industry are in the golf industry, but don't play a lot of golf, which is, it's nice to see someone's playing. That's good.
Yeah. But you know, even if I'm working a lot, like I said, I make an effort to even just hit balls for 30 minutes a day.
Right.
So golfing is like working out. Like if I go to the gym for, you know, 10 days in a row, I start feeling good. Everything's good. And then if I take a week off and go back, it's like starting all over again.
Right.
So it's like just keeping the momentum going is what I'm really trying to do, and not have to go back to day one type of deal.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into your background a little bit, because your story is awesome. Like you're an entrepreneur at heart. You've always been that way. Give, you know, the community a little bit of a sense of where you came from, how you got just into business, and then how it led to golf.
Okay, so I guess the it's kind of started with golf. My first job was at a golf course, Hells Point Golf Course in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I worked the cart barn, cleaning golf carts and picking the range. And that's where I learned how to play golf, but I also learned how to hustle and like how to get a tip. I learned, you know, if you can remember a member's name and say, "Good morning, Mr. So-and-so," you know, you probably get more money than if you don't remember his name.
Right.
And if you could remember his wife's name and his kid's name, then you could get even more of a tip. So I figured those type of things out at like 13 and 14 years old. And then I played golf and wanted to play better golf so I could hang out with some of the older guys that were working in the same cart barn and driving range. And then certain members kind of you know, took a liking to me. And so I started playing with those type of guys too. And then in that process, and then playing with my dad as well, I started to realize that a lot of those guys are doing business on the golf course, and that a business can be fun. You know, they're drinking beer, but they're also still talking about work and golfing and laughing. So I think that's kind of the earliest stages of of where I can remember being like, wow, I could do something like this. Mm-hmm. I dropped out of high school. I moved to Colorado, snowboarded and worked retail, but grew up as an artist and could paint and draw and do all different types of sculptures, et cetera, pottery. But I never knew how to use the computer the way I needed to. So I was painting like candy canes and snowboarders on windows at certain ski shops out in Colorado, and did that for a few years. And really just, I was living with people who were probably 8-10 years older than me, and their lives were awesome. You know, one guy, my buddy Bees, he ran the maintenance at the Four Seasons Hotel or something. Right. Which was awesome because he had a job. He snowboarded, as much as humanly possible. He used to drive into Denver and go see the Nuggets games and stuff like that. And I realized that that's a great way to live, and it's very stress-free. But also I realized that 8-9 years were going to go by quick, and I was going to be doing the exact same thing he was. At that point, I started thinking about going to the Art Institute because I had I got a GED and dropped out. So that was one of my options. So I went for visual communications in Atlanta. I caddied in Atlanta, and then I had to do a magazine layout for school. And that's where I actually started my first business, Franklin 51 Media Group. So that was the start. That then led to, I got a job as an art director at an ad agency. I learned about mandatories and deliverables and all of the ad agency marketing firm type of business. From those two experiences, the magazine still publishes today. It's obviously digital, but we still do print, and I still do advertising, marketing, strategy, consulting, all of those type of things. So that's kind of where I learned how to do it. I've been doing it since. And then all of the thousands of creative, whether it be graphic designers or directors or musicians or painters, working with that huge network of artists for both myself and my own media business and for clients like Toyota and Nike and Burton Snowboards, that leads to me starting Mauve & Goff with my wife, whose background is marketing as well, but it's also retail and retail experience. So between all that together, that's Mauve & Goff, and kind of how it's growing and how the direction it's taking now is just basically all of the past coming together to what you see today.
See, that's a killer story. Cause I mean, your experience or your life story is not too dissimilar from mine, right? You learned how to be a man and how to, my dad always called it you go to the golf course and at the country club or the muni, those older guys will teach you how to hang out, which my dad basically uses as a phrase to express learning how to be a man amongst men, learning how to hustle, learning just how to live life as a young man, right? That you learn all those little skills when you're scrubbing clubs or caddying or what you learn on a golf course is crazy. And a lot of it's because you're a young man interacting with older guys that have families, guys that have money, guys that don't have money. Like, you're seeing all walks of life pass and they're all just playing golf, right? It's almost like going to I've been in recovery for a long time. It's like going to an AA meeting. Once everybody gets in that room, you're all a bunch of drunks, right? It's just
absolutely.
And
yeah, it levels the playing field. So it's like, it doesn't matter what you do or how great you are, how many accomplishments you have. Two people are standing on a tee box and you have to hit it over a 200 yard lake. It's like,
right.
Let's go.
Let's fucking get into it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. And I think that's fascinating. And the thing that, you have kids, I have kids, and it's funny, the modern day entrepreneur isn't a guy necessarily that went to Stanford or Harvard, which there's nothing wrong with that path. But the only way Mauve & Goff is what it is right now as we sit as you in your kind of the texture of your life, right? And people would say you're a hustler, you're this, you're that, but that's what makes the clothes so cool. That's what makes the idea so cool is sort of I don't know what word I want to use, but maybe it's the chaos of it all. And I've sort of said that to you before, is it's kind of fly by the seat of your pants, although it's very well thought out, but it's, it changes and it's ever growing. And it's kind of like your career. It's like you went from here to here to there to there, and that led to this and that led to that. Now you're on a podcast with, you know, for a golf website. Like, that's, to me, that's insanity. But that's how it works. Like, that's how the cool stuff sort of happens. So, okay. So now Malvin Golf, you know, when I met you a couple of years ago, it was literally cement paint cans. You know, you guys were just, you know, I think you had an idea of what it was going to be in your head, but it was still a model, right? You know, you had your place on Fairfax. Just in regards to the shop, to the brick and mortar part of it, how has that sort of transformed or elevated past what you thought it was going to be? Let's just talk about the shop itself.
The shop's great. I mean, being able to take, you know, people who don't golf and let them come somewhere and kind of change their perspective, perception of golf is pretty cool. Where someone will come in and say, hey, this is the first time I've ever been in a golf shop. It's pretty cool. It's fucking great. You know, like, that's that's the mission, right? So that's the point of the space. And the space is really cool. I mean, it's, obviously it's great. It's an event space. It's really good story. It's a showroom. It's a retail experience. You can train there. There's indoor full swing simulator. There's a garden in the back that we did with Callaway, which is designed by Hank Haney and myself, a green where you can play a par two and you can putt and you can chip and you can do all of this stuff in the back. The content we've been able to produce out of the space is amazing, and it's ever evolving, you know, from really big projects all the way down to just the daily Instagram story. It's really, really good for that.
Right.
And there's kids in there doing lessons. There's clinics. There's mommy and me on Sundays with mimosas, and their kids are doing clinics. And there's, you know, this week, past week at Riv, we did four events there during the week. Space is really cool out front with the stairs, et cetera. Kids can skateboard there. Kids can sit on the stoop. And it works, like I said, really, really well for an event space.
Right. Well, didn't you sort of oddly created as, like, you know, I'm from Seattle and I grew up at Rainier Country Club, but we used to go out to Jefferson Park quite a bit. And out front by the putting green at Jefferson Park is kind of where everybody sat, right? If you're just bored after high school, you know, after school or in between classes or whatever, you'd go there and just sit and talk to your buddies and talk to the people passing by, and they just end up sort of, you know, commiserating in the front of the pro shop talking golf. You'd be there for 2-3 hours talking golf with no intention of playing golf. And that's kind of what you've got there in a weird way with those steps. Like, I've seen, you know, driven past there enough times, you'll see people, 3 or 4 people just sitting out there drinking coffee, talking.
Totally. It's become more of a clubhouse than a shop. Obviously people buy stuff there, and we do drops with Nike, and we do certain drops with ourselves, and we have product there, and, you know, you can obviously buy stuff, but I think the vibe people are looking for is that it's, you know, even part of the reason of, like, wearing the clothes and stuff, you know, that we've been making, people are wearing that. So, like, even if a kid that I know, who 24-year-old kid, still likes to go to Coachella and go out to clubs, right? But he also loves golf. He doesn't want to wear a Titleist hat to the nightclub, but he doesn't want to miss out on his conversation with his fellow golfer buddies.
Right.
So if he wears our stuff, or, you know, it's a hint, like, if I'm a golfer, I'm in a, you know, an art party or a nightclub or something, and I see another person wearing Malvin Golf, then it's like, I instantly would go over and start having a conversation. I mean, I would do it with someone wearing a Titleist hat, let alone,
right.
you know, it's just like, all I want to talk about is golf anyway. So if I see someone with a Callaway hat, it's like, hey, did you try that new flash driver? That's it. I have 3 hours of conversation immediately. All I need is one person. One person to talk with. If there's four people, it's like, whoo, I could talk about golf for hours with four people.
Well, bro, I'm at there's a Loblaws in Canada, and, like, there's a stores like Loblaws. It's kind of like the Whole Foods, right? And
yeah,
there's a guy in line a couple steps ahead of me with a PXG hat on. And I'm like, Toronto, PXG, this guy's a golfer. And, like, we're walking out with our groceries in 20-degree weather. And I'm like, that's a cool hat. You play PXG stuff. And all of a sudden, 45 minutes later, I find out that the guy is a total golf head, listens to my podcast, like just going down the rabbit hole of like golfer stuff. And it's funny what this game will do to people. Like, it's funny the conversations that'll start. Just, like you said, just identifying somebody's got a Titleist hat on. I'm going to go talk to him. That's probably an hour long conversation. I love that. I love that stuff. I love it.
Yeah, and the shop to that. I mean, the other night we did a party with Callaway, and we were premiering a film, a short film in a simulator. The shop was busy with people having drinks, kind of like a cocktail party. And then out back, there were like 8 people playing, $5 closest to the hole.
Right. Yeah.
Chipping. So like all of that activity was happening at one time, and there's probably 120 people there, but it didn't seem crowded, although – you've been to our shop. It's far from big, right?
Right. And that's the funny thing is the first time I saw your shop, Steve, I left there going, I don't know what that is. I have no idea what this guy's doing. I have no clue. He seems like he knows what he's doing, but I have no idea what this, like, I don't know what is. I don't know what is going, I don't know what's happening here, but it sounds.
If you figure it out, let me know, bro.
Well, no, but that's how it should stay, is the fact that you shouldn't know. It's like, it just works. It just sort of works. So make it just kind of keep working, I guess.
Most likely we're getting ready to, with the space, keeping on the space note, remove all of the creative and the, obviously like sales and marketing, all of the people who are working for us. I'm going to move those people upstairs in the same building around the corner. And then we're going to knock that wall down. We're going to open it up. We're going to be doing a bigger retail experience.
Okay.
So you'll have a little more time to buy stuff. I mean, the thing is, golfers, you know how golfers are. One, like, golfers for the most part have money, and they drive far distances to come to the shop to have the experience. And someone will spend $500 and be like, I was trying to spend $2,000, but you're sold out of this and you're sold out of that and this. And so to give that, how golf is, it's like you said, like, if we have a section for clothing and a section for shoes and a section for clubs and a putting area and a simulator, it's like all of a sudden, like, ooh, I'll stay here for 3-4 hours.
Right. And you can hang out and you can have a beer and go hit the simulator and talk, if it's one of the off days that you're there hanging out, then all of a sudden you're talking to the guy that's making all the clothes, like literally right in front of you, which is part of the charm of the whole place. Right. I was actually going to ask you this after, because you and I went to that Callaway event with all the content creators. What was your take on that whole event? Like, because that's the first time I've seen a club company kind of invite, I call them all the cool kids, basically. It's like, your Eric Langs and your Brody Smiths and the Golfaholics and the, Stephen Malbin. And like, that was not a typical golf crowd at the Callaway event.
I think it's great. I think it's great. I mean, it's like the golf industry is in a great place for change, because it isn't, it's tough what's going on with golf, and there's too many golf courses and not enough people playing. And it's like, you don't want golf to be like bowling, right? And just like disappear. So people are starting to have to get back to the drawing boards, and the dinosaur old companies who haven't like evolved with social and content and understand how that's going to be important even into the future, whether it be a country club or a ball manufacturer, right? It's like, you guys are getting pretty behind the ball right now. Like, Eric Lang isn't a, golf manufacturer, right? He doesn't make golf clubs, yet he has golf club companies flying him around to hit their clubs.
Right.
And that's awesome. That's great.
It's not your norm. And you actually just pressed on a good point. I really want your opinion, because I know what I think, but like, you talk about content, right? Everybody talks about content as king. So what makes it so essential these days? Is it the accessibility that the content creates? Is it just having something to look at? Like, what is it about content? Like, what is it?
Content is king. It's like, okay, great. So you're going to take a wedge and make a bunch of content for it and do, slow motion filming of a golf ball compressing and you make really expensive, great overproduced content. Like, I don't think that's king because no one cares about it. No one wants to watch it.
Right.
At the same time, I don't think like doing an event recap video is like the CEO doesn't even want to watch it. Why the fuck would someone who's buying your products? It's right. Like, it's obviously a recap of a party. No one cares about your recap. They care about like who's doing social live at your event.
Right.
So it's like, that's what they care about. The recap, just save your money. And they're going to overproduce it. So their boss's boss says, hey, you did a great job at the party.
Right.
But like, save that money and give it to people who are making content and let them wear your hat. That right. Content is king. You know, so it's there's ways to do it. And there's strategies to use social. And obviously, I mean, content is like, a shirt and having, I was at Riviera last week at the tournament and seeing like hundreds of people wear our stuff at Riviera. It's like, that's content.
Right.
So that's it. I mean, it's like, you know, graffiti artist mentality of every tag counts, right?
Right. Right.
That's no, it. I
mean, you answer the question because it's always like, you hear that all the time. Content, content, content. Sometimes I'm just like, well, what exactly do you mean? Like, what does content mean to you? Like, and you just answered, you literally just answered, you said exactly.
Everything. Yeah, everything.
You said exactly everything. What I needed you to say. So thank you for that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your golf game, because the thing that I don't think everybody knows about you, you're actually a pretty good stick. How, like you said, you're playing two, three days a week. Like, how is your game? Like, what, you know, what are you firing? What's your handicap? Talk to me a little bit about your golf game.
Quality. I could shoot 70 to 80. Okay. And it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, golf. And sometimes I have flashes of greatness, and other times I couldn't hit the side of a barn.
Okay, sounds about
that's
right.
That's it. And some days I'm about the same as everyone else, I guess. You know, like every 40, 50 times I play, it's the easiest thing I've ever done. I hit every fairway, every green. You know, I lip out for birdie 12 times and shoot one over.
Thinking about going to Q school.
And then, yeah, and then the next day I shoot 90 and I'm grinding for bogeys all day. Just right. Every hole grinding for bogeys. That's my golf game. It's just a matter of who you catch, which day.
Yep, I can relate to that. What taking the Rivieras and the Bel Airs out of it, what are some golf courses around LA that you like to play?
Weddington Golf and Tennis in Studio yep. City. I like Angeles National. I like Rustic Canyon. I like Wilson Harding. I like Brookside. I like all of them.
I like golf.
You know, I don't like when it's too crowded and takes too long, or at least I don't like it if I love my foursome, I don't care how long it takes. But if it's like, not if it's slight of love for the foursome I'm with,
yeah, it tends to grind.
Then it's like, oh, yeah, turns into a long day. Plus the fact that I'm grinding for bogeys every other hole.
Yeah, it's not as fun.
Doesn't help.
How many times have you played Rustic? See, I think Rustic's the best value in Southern California.
It's great. It's great. Yeah. My kid, the first golf tournament Remington ever played in, or the first time I ever caddied as a dad, I caddied for him there at Rustic. He hit it in that ditch on the first hole. Started with an 8.
That's a tough
started start. His golf career with an 8.
How did you feel?
I love it though. It's good, man.
Your kids started.
I almost fainted, dude, when they announced his name. You know, they said next on the tee, and it was like him. I honestly thought I could faint. That's how nervous I was for him, because if he whiffed it or something, then it's like, I don't know if he's ever going to do this again.
Right.
And he striped a little baby draw down the middle with a 3-wood.
And you're a turbo dad at that moment.
That was it.
You're the father.
That was it.
Yeah, good for you.
He had there were only 3 kids in the 5 and under.
Yeah.
So I knew immediately that he was going to get a trophy or a ribbon. Regardless,
okay.
Right? Because top 3 hit the podium. So I knew he was on the podium. So it's like he gets an 8 on the first hole. I'm like, doesn't matter, you know? Let's get a par, right? And at the end, he literally thought he beat like 40 kids. That's a great way to start a career, right?
With a little trophy and a little pat on the bum bum from dad. Like, yeah.
Got a little necklace, you know?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. See, that's the stuff, like, you know, for me, like, I can't wait till my – I have a six-year-old. He's not – it's hard in Toronto because you don't play like you do in California. But, like, I'm ready for both of my boys to get out there and play in some little events and, you know, get nervous. Dad gets nervous. Like, I can't wait for that. Like, that to me, is that's everything. Okay, so a couple more questions. So a little bit more, like, in regards to the people that are out there doing content now, you know, this is a content call, right? We're talking about all that stuff. Who do you kind of follow out there? And don't say everybody, but who, like, consistently do you think does it really, really well? Like, you know, the storytellers out there that you, like, really enjoy in the golf space.
I'm having difficulty answering because there's so many different groups. Like, if it's like Club Vibes, I follow you.
Right.
Like, I see you talking about new products or what was in the bag, or, you know, you'll put up a vintage image of a putter someone used or something. So I love that. Right. On the club side, I like what not only your company, but you're personally doing. Mm-hmm. For adventures, I like, obviously Eric and them, the Lang, mm-hmm, and that whole gang. And then I follow like Allison Lee, like when her adventures of like going to Vegas and golfing and doing whatever they do. I don't know. I follow everyone. It is kind of, there's a ton of people that, I follow and like.
Okay.
Channing Benjamin's photographer.
So there's a whole bunch of people. You're kind of
golf digest, golf everything. I mean, I started that golf Instagram. I started the whole company just to have a golf Instagram that I could follow a bunch of golf companies, and so that's never really stopped. The you know, I think if we're following like 7,000 people, so
right,
there's 7,000 people that I know of somehow that have something to do with golf, I guess.
So you're kind of into it all.
You're awesome.
You're equal opportunity. I dig it. Okay, so last question I'm going to ask, and I'll let you go, because I feel like we could get into a real nitty-gritty philosophical conversation that, you know, that could take all day. So I want to keep this pretty general. Going forward, so, you know, it's 2019. The rules of golf are changing. Obviously, the landscape of golf is changing. You know, you've introduced me to guys like Mikey Taylor, Sean Malto, these skateboarder kids that are playing golf. Do you think – because, like, literally, dude, like, you're the guy that's sort of, I would say, the conduit to taking these, a lot of these urban kids, and I don't want to say bringing them to golf, but bringing, identifying that they're golfers, because that's kind of what you've done. You know, what does the game look like in five years? Is it more? This is a kind of a weird question, but I really want to know what your answer is. Like, what does golf look like in 5 years? Is it more of like an urban feel where there's pop-up shops and places to practice and play, like your shop? Do you see a lot more of that coming in the next 5 years, or is it just trying to fit all these new players into the old model? If that the question makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, in 5 years, I see Remington being 18 or 17 years old and playing in the Masters, my son.
Okay.
A little cool walk with dad, taking a little cool walk with dad around Augusta, you know, yeah. That should be in the future for sure.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just trying to tell – I know a lot of people who don't golf, and I think they should know how awesome it could be. And that's really it. Like, I'm not trying to take all the golfers and be like, hey, I know these artists that are awesome, or these urban people. It's like Sean Malto's Canadian, and he – and he's not Canadian. What the hell am I talking about? But Sean grew up golfing in Kansas City, right? Like, he's not from an urban, you know, he's not from New York City.
No.
Right? Like, he's not like this thugged out hard urban kid. Yet, it's like, oh, we find the urban people. But, like, it's just the background that I have, and some of those people golf. So, you know, I want more people like that to start golfing. What that does to all the current day golfing situations, I have no idea. I don't think it could be a bad thing, and that's all I'm going to really keep doing. And if Remington plays in the Augusta or not, it has a lot to do with whether he quits or not, right?
Right.
And, you know, this week he played golf with Tony Finau. He played golf with Bryce Butler from the Dolphins. He played golf yesterday with Golden Tate from the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, he's being around some stuff. He played with Schoolboy Q. He's played with Eric and with Costin. And, like, he knows who all these people are,
yeah,
right? And they're, like, heroes. They're heroes to, you know, to young people. You know, Steph Curry is wearing our stuff when he golfs. It's like, well, my kid is going to keep golfing. If kids will golf if they know this stuff.
Yep, I agree.
Because everybody looks up to someone, you know? So if kids look up to athletes and artists and musicians, and those people golf, then the kids are going to do the same thing.
It's funny you say that. Like, well, one I want to say, Bryce Butler, who's a beautiful human being, is the biggest golf head. Like, you would never see it coming, but the guy's like a total golf junkie, right? And
all of those people I just mentioned are
Golden Tate.
You know, like Schoolboy Q is the biggest golf fucking nut you'll ever meet. Schoolboy
right.
Q, you'll never meet anyone more obsessed with golf than he is.
Right.
And that's good, because his 3 million followers typically don't golf. And he posts on his Instagram story every day, him golfing, yet he's doing it the way he wants to do it. We helped with the interview at the PGA, and it's like, he's like, all my fans think I'm out on the golf course, you know, trying to be like your typical country club person. He's like, that's not the case. I'm swagging out here. I'm having fun. My hat's on backwards. I am who I am. I'm not going to fake that I'm like someone else.
Right.
Golf's okay. You can still be yourself and go play golf, and you can be cool like Schoolboy Q or Montho or, you know, or you. And it's okay. It's okay that you can be fashionable and like golf.
Well, that's the cool thing.
That's what golf's always been about.
Right. And that's the conversation. Like, you know, you and I talk about, you know, this is the conversation starter, who's leading it, but that's the kind of what you're doing is I guess all of us are sort of trying to do is make it so that it's not that normal. Well, golf's expensive and it's archaic and there's rules and there's this and there's that. There is all that stuff, but it's
okay.
It's okay. Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. But that's cool. Like, that's what makes it kind of fun. And it's funny, like, and I'll end with this. Like, I grew up around a bunch of baseball players. Like, my dad was in real estate, and I knew from the time I was 8 until now, you know, I grew up with a bunch of the Mariners, you know, Griffey and Buehner and Langston and all these guys. Like, and golf was always the great equalizer. So I grew up idolizing these guys because they were gods on the baseball field. But when I was like, you know, Remington, when he became 15, 16, 17, and his game gets to the point where he's, you know, beating everybody.
Giving like, strokes to all these famous athletes. He's giving strokes to the athletes. It's like, let's go, buddy.
Bro, what that did for my confidence when I was
– Of course.
Dude, it was unbelievable what that did for my relationship with my father, for my relationship with those guys that I used to idolize. All of a sudden, they're coming to me, calling me, going – let's take Johnny out to go play. Let's go play. Watch him hit it. Watch this. Watch that. And I'm having guys that are giants on the baseball field watch me going, wow, like, look at him hit it. Like, all this, like, what that does to a kid's confidence is just insane. And
think of Remington. He's 7 years old on the 10th hole of the Riviera at the Pro-Am. Kelly James was rapping. I pull up in our group with Tony Finau and Schoolboy Q, who's a rapper.
Right.
And all of a sudden they told me, you know, you got to go first. And I said, okay, I'm going first. But before I went, I handed Remy his little Cobra driver and sent him out there. He was in boots and rain gear. And while the dude was rapping, he pured a drive right into the fairway.
Right.
One practice swing, and then he just fucking pured it. But, like, the crowd went crazy. Everyone was high-fiving him. I got it on video. He put it on his Instagram. Like, now this week in Palm Springs, he's like, Dad, I really need to start really focusing on training again. And with me and him, it's like, I don't care if you do it or not, buddy. If you want to get serious, I'm not getting serious until you're about 10 or 12 anyway.
Right.
So if you keep golfing the next 3 years, great. I don't care. You already have a perfect swing, so you'll have it. If you ever, you know, if you want to go, go. If you don't, don't. I don't care. Play basketball. Do whatever you want to do.
Right.
You know, and now he's out here chopping grapefruits in half with three woods, just fast as I can pull them out of a tree for them. There's no shoes on in the grass, you know? Let's go. Hitting all types of fruit.
At the Madison Club, no less. Like, that place, place is like Jurassic Park. Steve Malbin, you're doing a good job, man. I like what I've told you this the first time I met you, and I tell you this every time I see you. Like, what you're doing is pretty awesome. It's important. So,
thank you, buddy.
Yeah, it's always fun talking to you. So, I want to thank you for being on the show. Looking forward to seeing you face to face again at some point. And
you too, man. Thank you for having me, bud. I appreciate it.
Of course. Where do we find you? Give me some social media and website.
At Malbin. At Malbin Golf, MalbinGolf. And my Instagram is Steven with a PH Malbin on Instagram. And Erica's is Erica Malbin as well. Ribby.god for the Utes.
For the Utes. And at MalbinGolf.com, you can see, you can order stuff online. Check out his stuff. Sure. He does a ton of collabs with a bunch of different companies. So go about your day. Have fun out there in the desert. We'll talk soon. And that's it, buddy.
You got it, man. Thank you.
All right, you got it. All right, that's Stephen Malbin of Malbin Golf. It's a hustler, man. He's doing it, though. It's always a fun conversation talking to him. But that's, you know, like, I dig his story. Like, that guy came – I can relate to about 75% of his story. My career path took me everywhere from bartending to managing nightclubs to selling loans to doing real estate, property management. I've done it all. I used to clean offices for my old man, everything, but it all sort of added up to the life that I have now, which is ever changing, ever building. But, if I don't do all that stuff, I can't get excited about my days today. So I want to thank Stephen Malbin for coming on. Once again, want to plug the other podcast on Golf WRX Radio, Two Guys Talking Golf, 19th Hole on Spec, Mondays off. You can find those SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify, and on the website golfwrx.com. Until next time, this is the Gear Dive. I'm your host, Johnny Wonder. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, see you later.